Hi all, Andy here. This is one of those episodes where I go to an expat fair and ask people to share their stories of their weird and wonderful experiences of life in the Netherlands with me. I was at the Feel at Home Fair organized by The Hague Online.
My name is Prudence Nanje, I'm from Cameroon. When I just came was when it happened. When you go somewhere, they will say coffee, tea. So I thought it was good morning. So I went to an office and then I was at the counter and I said, coffee, tea? And everybody was looking at me, what? I said, I'm saying good morning. And they said, no, that's not good morning. So then I said, why do people always say coffee, tea? No, when you come inside, they say, hello, coffee or tea? I said, okay, now I get it.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And also, early in 2000, when I came here by the train station, they used to people used to stand and share newspaper. So I thought it was compulsory that you need to take one of those papers. So each morning I used to when I'm passing, I would take one. So one day I was okay, today I'm not going to take one because I don't read it. I don't know how to read this language. Why are they forcing me to take it? So I passed and nobody stopped me. I was like, okay. Then I told my friends and my friends were there laughing that, no, you are not forced to take it. So those are one of my experiences that I've had here.
Some funny things happen when you move to a different country.
Yeah. And Netherlands is quite an interesting place for me though, I must say, yeah.
Hi, can you introduce yourself? Tell me your name and where you're from.
My name's Chris Gray and I'm from the UK, but I've been living in the Netherlands for 6 years now.
What brought you here then?
I work at the International School of The Hague.
All right, cool. Any kind of, you must have had lots of funny experiences down the years of coping with Dutch culture, and what's something that sticks with you?
I suppose it's probably similar to what happens with everyone. I have a little bit of bike anxiety / rage. It seems like the cycling, there are some rules, but no one seems to know what they are or follows them at all. So I cycle myself, and I tend to follow normal road rules because I kind of think that's appropriate. But it turns out that I might be the only person who does. And what's really funny is that you think as a pedestrian you have a right of way, but you actually don't. The bikes have a right of way, and when you're a pedestrian, bikes have a right of way, but when I'm cycling, pedestrians have a right of way. So the whoever gets priority seems to vary on who it is, and it's never me. So I walk in fear most of my life, fear of being run over by a speeding bike. And when I'm cycling, I'm in fear of pedestrians jumping in front of me and telling me off for not being in the right place, which both is highly probable. Even coming out of this building now, you've got to look left, right continuously. And it's very difficult to predict where people are going. It's like people on their bikes, they take the most bizarre routes that you could possibly imagine. Now, I don't approach it mathematically, but I can pretty much determine that if I carry on walking in a straight line at a certain speed, I'm going to intercept somebody cycling a bike, which means they either need to stop or I need to stop. And it's always me who stops. And I make way for everyone else.
Still a bit British at heart then?
Of course I am.
Very polite.
You can take the guy out of Britain, but you can't take the Brit out of the guy. Something like that.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Vignesh, and I'm from India. I studied sustainable energy technology in Delft University of Technology, and I'm here in Netherlands since 2015. The only thing I find weird is how they pronounce the words. It's very. When I came here, I just read the name of Tram 1 as Scheveningen. And they said, what? Where is the place? And they said, Scheveningen. It was so moeilijk for me to first, initially, the Dutch language was different, but the people speak really good English. That makes us really hard to learn Dutch. So that's the difference I find between the Dutch and the other Europeans.
Okay, hi. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Teresa Hagen. I am have lived in The Hague for about a year. I was married to a Dutch man in 1981, lived in the Netherlands for 3 years at that time.
Okay, and where are you from?
Originally from Texas in the U.S., but I've lived in California for 20 years before.
All right, and have you had a funny experience or weird experiences living in the Netherlands as an international, something that didn't compute, or you found yourself in a situation you thought, weird. These Dutch people, what are they up to? Or lost in translation or something like that?
Of course. Who hasn't? No. Back when I first lived here a long time ago, we were one time in a recreation bungalow, as in the recreation parks. And the shower, the water would not drain. And it kept getting higher and higher in the shower. So I went to the desk and I said, can you send someone to please come unstop the shower? So they decided that the blockage was under the toilet. They removed the toilet. They put a pressure washer in there and nothing happened. So the gentleman said in Dutch to his partner, go get the fire hose. And I said to myself, he didn't say fire hose. He did say fire hose. So they hooked it up to the street, unwound it, put the nozzle in there, and then of course they turned on the water, and suddenly I had fountains coming out of each of the sinks in my house, and they're saying to me, get a towel, hold it over the fountains. Well, of course, not much to do, and it drowned the entire bathroom. And eventually they found it was a broken pipe.
Okay, so you thought, wow, these Dutch people are pretty extreme when it comes to plumbing.
Yes, very much so.
I'm called Steven. I've been in the Netherlands for over 10 years now, so it's surprising I'm here, but it's always nice to come and see what's new and continue to feel at home in the Netherlands.
Where are you from?
I'm from Uganda.
And how was it coming from Uganda to the Netherlands in the first place?
I didn't come directly to Netherlands. First, I was in the UK before I came here. It wasn't a significantly big jump, but it was quite interesting to just move into the city of peace and just still feel sort of welcome with more diverse sort of group of people. Everyone sort of speaks English. It's quite welcoming. I didn't have anything negative, so I'm happy.
There must have been some weird experiences or some things that you thought, what's going on here? You know, different country, different culture. The Netherlands can be a bit sort of odd.
Yeah.
What struck you as kind of a funny experience or an odd experience you came across, maybe you didn't expect before you came here, or kind of a lost in translation moment, or some weirdness you came across?
Weirdness, Mercedes-Benz is a taxis. Everyone carries some sort of bag when they're going to the supermarket. Obviously, being direct and frank, the Dutch are very straight to your face.
Have you had an experience of that, or an example of that?
Yes, indeed. There's a time when I called the utilities, I think it was Eneco, and I tried to speak in English, and they were just like, nope, we don't speak English here, and that was it. So it was quite direct, and that was a very sharp reminder of, sort of Dutch directness and frankness.
What about the language? Do you have any kind of favorite Dutch words, or how do you get on with the language?
Gezellig. Gezellig.
Everyone says gezellig.
Yeah, it's, you feel at home. Cozy, sort of comfy. Gezellig is the one I like.
Yeah, and how is it learning the language? How do people react when you...
It's been tough, primarily because where I work is obviously, it's mostly in English, most of the communication in English. Where I play football, where it's sort of the place of worship that you go to, I'm sort of surrounded in my own little bubble. Maybe that's a negative. But yeah, the language is also very structurally different from not only English, but all of the languages that I knew. I don't know, verbs always come at the end instead of at the beginning. So those kind of things have made it quite difficult to learn. But I'm trying.
What's your favorite thing about the Netherlands?
Favorite thing? Order. Cleanliness. Order and cleanliness. There seems to be structure for everything.
And what gets
from insurance to the way, the day you take out Christmas trees, to there's a structure. Orderliness.
And what still gets on your nerves?
I need to think about that. What still gets on my nerves? Lack of spontaneity. Because it's too structured. Sort of the first thing is a plus, but then to make an appointment with someone, to have a drink, it has to be planned 6 months. Then you feel like, you lose that spontaneity and that's sort of just the things happening.
Hello. Can you tell me your name and where you're from, please?
I'm Sandra and I'm French.
And how long have you been in the Netherlands?
More than 10 years already.
It's quite a long time. And enjoying it?
Yeah, except the weather. I come from the south of France, so it's a little bit different.
Just a little bit, yeah, just a little bit different. Especially today where raining and horrible and not nice. When you first came here, what struck you as kind of very different or very odd? Or have you had any weird experiences here where you thought, I never expected that?
The thing is, my sister lived in the Netherlands already, so I had been here on vacation. I thought, oh, it's Europe, it's not that far. It's not going to be that much of a cultural shock. But it was, in small things, in how direct people are. This coming from south of France, being Portuguese, actually. We're very polite, and it's not that they're not polite. They are very different in the way they express themselves.
Do you have an example of what somebody said to you?
For example, I picked up something on the train that something fell, and instead of saying thank you or nothing, they just looked at me, and that's it. Just a little movement of the head, and that's it. No thank you or nothing. And I thought, oh, that's strange. Or just if I'm walking to get in line and someone managed to get faster than me, they'll just walk in front of me. And I think, oh, that's very rude for Portuguese, where we just really take queuing very seriously.
Just like us Brits.
Yes. So seeing someone just walk faster than me and rush to get in front of me in the line was shocking. It's small things, but when you're homesick, those little things actually get you, because you think, oh, this is so different, I'm never going to get used to it. And also how early it gets dark. So if you leave the house really early and you come back late after work, I felt like I never saw the sun the first winter. So that was a shock. And you think, oh, it's a 2 hours flight from home, and it just feels so different.
You didn't expect that?
No.
And how do you look at it now, 10 years later?
I managed to see the positive in that, for example, I say no. It's easier for me to say no now to people. Before, I would be embarrassed to say no, and I would say yes to people asking me things, even if I didn't want to, just to be polite. And I think it's there's some things, you know, being in the Netherlands and people being so direct and not being afraid to say no, even though they're polite. They're just, no, I don't want to do that. Taught me to just stand up for myself and say, no, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that.
And when you go back home and do that, how do people react to you?
They're not used to it. They're very shocked. So I kind of try to put myself back in the mentality of, okay, of when I was there 10 years ago, and try to be a bit more subtle, less direct, big smile, very polite. But yeah, try to assert myself without sounding rude.
All right. My name is Puran J. Sudan. I was born in India, moved here when I was a year and a half old in 1996 with my family. My dad used to have a job by the ICDY. That's how we came here. And the original plan was to stay here for a couple of years. And now it is 23 years later, we're still in the Netherlands. So
sounds like a typical expat story.
Yes, it definitely is, especially here in the Hague. And something about myself, I'm a medical student right now. So I went to the International School of the Hague here. And then I'm doing my medical degree from the University of Groningen. Groningen, actually. You have to have the phlegm in the G. But,
And there must have been funny situations down your years as an expat here. I mean, now you speak the language and you've been here a long time. But, you know, down the years, is there a kind of anecdote you tell people about which kind of typifies living in the Netherlands as an expat?
Well, not necessarily one that typifies living as an expat, but because of my medical degree and my clinical rotations, there was one very interesting encounter in Groningen that I had, where a doctor who was not so well versed in English or in English idioms was trying to explain to a patient that, yeah, we're going to, it went like this, then we are going to, we need to have the anesthesia May worker, and then we're going to go step by step through everything before the operation. And the patient over there, she was a British expat, and she was like, stepia by stepia, what is she on about? That is a literal translation from stopia by stopia. Stopia for stopia. That was a very interesting situation.
Yeah, that's always good when you get a real good Dunglish mix-up of a kind of... but people are kind of... They can sometimes be... Dutch people speaking English can sometimes be very sure they're speaking good English, but actually it's just literal translations.
Oh, no, yeah. When they go for the direct translations, you know, it's like... during the student committees, we were an international group, and then we met up with one of the Dutch groups. And one of the Dutch guys, he was just like, yeah, it's really cool that we are able to, you know, make friends with outlanders. Because Buitenlander is buiten is out and lander is landers.
So for foreigners. Yeah,
yeah, for foreigners. So there have been very interesting situations.
Hi, I'm Luna from Brazil.
And how long have you been in the Netherlands, Luna?
I've been 2.5 years in Amsterdam and 6 months in The Hague. I always say that sandwiches for lunch is really awkward. Having just a bread and cheese for lunch for a Brazilian is not normal.
Why? What do you normally have?
Well, we usually have really warm and earthy food, and here it's more like, yeah, let's have a sandwich, and then for dinner, then you eat some warm food. But then getting to work here and then having a very, okay, everyone is talking about the really nice lunch that they have in the company, and then you get there and it's just, okay, bread and salad, that's not amazing for a Brazilian.
I'm Beverly and I'm from Kenya.
And how long have you been in the Netherlands?
2 years. This is my second year.
And are you enjoying it?
Now I am. Now I would say I am enjoying it. In the beginning, no. But now it's nice.
Why not in the beginning?
I think the culture difference and just the weather, my social community wasn't there. So then it felt really not strange and not nice. But now I'm getting the hang of things. Yeah.
And is there something, or was there something when you first arrived that you thought this is very weird or very funny, or any kind of funny situations you got into because of culture differences, or, you know, something you didn't expect before you came here, perhaps?
One of the things was they always have the curtains open. Like, oh my goodness, what? So then you're walking and I'm like, do they want you to look inside? Why is the curtain open? Why are the lights on? What the hell? So then in the beginning I was like, so you have to walk facing forward on the street. Are the curtains open so I look inside? Or are the curtains open for them to just feel like, I don't know. That's very, very strange. Regarding where I'm from, Kenya, it's very private. You close your curtains at night. But we had a neighbor who the blinds were up. It's like 8 o'clock in the night. She's watching news, the lights are on, and I'm just like, do I look or do I not look? What's going on? So that was very strange.
And did you look?
Sometimes. I'm just like, okay, looking, not looking. So then sometimes you peek, like, oh my gosh, okay, continue walking, face forward. And another thing is, I would say their directness. They really, especially in The Hague, they're really like, you know, this is how we do it, and we're Dutch, and we're direct. And I'm like, no, The Hague is an international place, and you could be culturally aware that other people, I'm not saying you come to my and reach my level, but then they were really, oh, like, everything needs to be black or white. There's no gray areas, and everything is, no, this is how we do it in The Hague, and it's direct. And another thing which really put me off, they have a rule for everything and a rule for the rule they put in place.
Like, what do you mean? Explain that then.
So the rules are very, for example, when we were supposed to move here, my husband is Dutch, I'm Kenyan, we have children. So they're like, okay, you have to move here, your children are above 6 years old and they need to go to school. It's a rule. The kids need to go to school. The other rule is, you're their mom. We are from Africa, so we're not sure if you're coming to the Netherlands for economic dependence or you're coming to add value to our country. So then you have to go back to your country, go back there, do the exams, and then come here. And I'm just like, so my kids need to go to school. I am their primary caregiver at home. I need to take them to school. But hey, I need to stay out of the country for 3 months to process all this paperwork so that I can come and stay here. So then I'm like, where do you meet me halfway? But then it's like, yes, we have the rules. We love children. We support children. And we want children to grow and all this stuff. But then, yeah, let's take the mom away for 3 months, 6 months, because, yeah, it's another rule. So then I'm just like, who comes up with all these rules? And I was so annoyed. I was like, I need to meet the person. Like, yeah, we are children's rights. We are first world country. And yeah, let's take the mom away. Like, it doesn't add up.
So did you have to go back to Kenya then?
And yes.
Yeah. So you were there for 3 months? Or?
almost 6 months, because then they have a rule. You do the exams, then you have to wait for 12 weeks for your results. Then after the exams results, you have to apply. You have to wait for another 12 weeks before you get your things, and then you have to book, and then you have... So there's a rule and the timelines. Oh my goodness! But now I'm like, yeah, I'm getting... Yeah, it's getting easier.
What do you like the most now you're here?
I love the diversity of The Hague itself. That, and also people are so willing to help when you ask. Some of them speak, most of them speak English. So then it's really nice. I love that. And I really enjoy the diversity. Now I'm used to the food a little bit, I think.
A little bit?
Yes. I love the fries and the different... You can have fries with ketchup, fries with peanut sauce. Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it that somebody came up, you can eat fries and like peanut sauce. That's amazing. I love that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
Okay,
yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for talking to me. Let me give you a card and then you know the name of the podcast. If you want to share a story, then get in touch with me here in Holland at gmail.com, or you can get in touch via the Facebook page. Just search Here in Holland and you will find it there. I'm also working on a project about dogs and dog stories. So if you have a fantastic dog story you want to share, then get in touch with me too. In fact, I'm going to play you now one story that I've already collected. I'm looking for funny dog stories, anything that you think would be a nice dog story to share with people. You can hear my dog in the background now walking over to see what I'm doing. He's called Taco. I'm recording this at the kitchen table. He was barking a minute ago. He seems to have calmed down now. Anyway, I'll take him out for a walk in a minute. But if you want to share a dog story with me for that dog story project, then please get in touch as well. There's Taco, right on cue. But thanks for listening to Here in Holland. And if you want to support the podcast, you can become a patron of the show. Just check out the link in the show notes. For a small amount each month, you can help me stay independent and make more and more podcasts. I think the dog podcast is going to be called Shaggy Dog Stories. But yeah, if you have a great dog story to share, then please get in touch. And here is a little example of a dog story I've collected already. Okay, hope you enjoy it.
Hi. Hey. So, finally. Sorry, my name is Andres. Everyone calls me Andy anyways, but... So I'm a Spanish expat. I came here 6 years ago to study, and then life just kept me here, because then I started working, and that's what I do now. I'm working in a startup in Amsterdam. And 2 years ago I got Lara from a shelter here in the Netherlands, but she's a stray dog from Romania. So she's a very, very shy dog, but very sweet. So she does need time for everything to be a bit comfortable. She's always scared about pretty much everything at the beginning, but then once she gets a bit more confidence, then she goes full on, and she's lovely. So I have a feeling that the dog does have a... this sense of when I'm leaving, even though like there might not be suitcases or anything on the way that she could clearly tell that I'm going on holidays. Even from the first time that since I had heard that I was going on holidays, I had this story where I was doing my checking on my couch next to Lara, and I did my checking. I went for shower, and I left my passport on the couch, not too far away from where Lara was, I guess. And when I came back, I found like a little mountain of red bits, which I couldn't tell what it was until, of course, I got a bit closer to it. And then I just, I said, no, please no. But of course, it was already done. She ripped it off into pieces. So then I had to figure out how I was going to travel, because of course I was traveling that day in the afternoon. I had a whole day planned for being like relaxed with Lara before the first time I was leaving her alone with a friend. at the beginning, I was like, for a second, like, I was angry for a second, but then I was like, yeah, you know, it's not the dog's fault. It's more like my fault for leaving that there. I know how she was behaving with papers and plastics and so on. Her favorite toy to rip apart and into million pieces. So, yeah, it was just a bummer because I felt a bit stupid of leaving my passport next to that monster. Yeah, actually, it was funny because the when I called to the airport and to the consulate to see how to deal with the situation, the first call I made, and I was talking to the person on the other side. I was telling them, okay, so this is gonna sound like kind of like my dog ate my homework, but my dog ate my passport. And then, but then the second call I made, because they told me that they couldn't do anything from there, that I had to go somewhere else. So the second call, I actually didn't make the joke, but I said, yeah, well, my dog ate my passport. And the first thing they asked me was, did he also eat your homework? So yeah, I think it's probably normal somehow. Like, it's not so odd that a dog would find something and destroy it. What is weird, right? For dogs, like, we cannot even understand what when they talk. So we don't know what they're up and about. Always, they have their own minds, and it's great. It's great to see. It's great fun. It's on a daily basis, you see their reaction to certain things, and yeah, it's for me. It's really fun to see. It's the great thing of a relationship with a dog. Yesterday I was coming back home, and there was an ambulance, and she started like this howling thing, and you know, I'm always wondering why. What's the whole point? Are they helping? Are they trying to help? Because if so, yeah. I mean, I would say, yeah, they help.
All right, Andy here again. Thanks for that. That was just a kind of inserted dog story for this dog podcast project I'm working on. And if you do have a dog story to share with me, please reach out. You can get me here in Holland at gmail.com, or you can get me through the Facebook page. Just search Here in Holland and you'll find me there. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time around.